Hello.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I got distracted.
You got distracted? That's fine. I was just watching CNN, and the gas masks are whipping off the shelves there in Israel. They're for free.
In Israel, yep. We haven't begun attacking Syria yet, have we?
That's right. Anyway, I wanted to commend your article that you wrote with Don Fox.
Oh, yeah, good.
I was up all night reading the article and watching the video.
Oh, good.
Which is the best article, is it Preston James?
Yeah.
Yeah, he commended you, and I reciprocate the same words that he said. It's probably the best article that Veterans Today ever had. It's just excellent. And the comments I love to read, too, because sometimes I have a great laugh with the comment section. Can't get out of that section at times. I read the other one, Blue Star, the article, the fourth one on Veterans Today, Blue Star, you can't make up this stuff.
I haven't read that one myself. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, let me just get into that. So I almost had a hemorrhage reading that. It's anti-Israel sites threatened by Blue Star College Fellows Program. Blue Star College Fellows Leadership Program has caught the attention of Israel haters. Anyway, the comment section is they're giving, you have to pay about $50,000 to get a course or whatever it was in campuses across America or in Israel, right? What's it here? I almost died laughing when I saw this. I mean, just next generation of Israel leaders and advocates need your support. $50,000 will pay for a year of campus programming and a trip to Israel for 10 Jewish and non-Jewish students. $25,000 will help support our efforts to help students' leaders fight against BDS, Boycott, Divest, Sanction Israel actions against, whatever in this academic year. Goes on and on, and the comments, I almost died laughing. In the middle of the night, I'm reading some of these comments, right?
Yeah.
And this was what made me laugh. That's right, Brother John. And oh, shucks, the good Lord promised that he would bless any country that blessed his chosen children, the Jews. Hallelujah, Brother John. Bless America.
It is unbelievable, isn't it?
I almost died laughing because of this. He says, only begotten son of the God of the children of Israel told us, blessed are the poor. Since we've been blessed with them children of Abraham, we got poverty all over the place. I laughed at that. Yeah, bless the Israelis, but now Americans are poor as hell. Detroit has gone bankrupt. How did that all happen?
Yeah.
I almost died laughing on some of these comments because they're great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay $50,000 to help the Israelis all the time. Anyway, no wonder the Israelis and the Jews are flying to get those gas masks. They're for free.
Well, I'm telling you, but now the claim is that the attack on Syria is going to begin on Saturday.
Yeah,
how ridiculous.
Well, it made me laugh when I saw this, like they're giving notice so that, they can prepare themselves or whatnot. So I don't know. Right now, they're discussing that, I guess it's Russia's going into the Mediterranean area. I don't know why they're actually taking this long time of mm-hmm. gearing up, because usually they do a surprise attack. So I'm really surprised. But anyway, I wanted to get to this character that I was saying, this John Bequia. It's a serious situation where I think he's gotten into the websites of a lot of people.
All
now,
right.
The other person that you had, I think, spoken to is an author by the name of Peter Vronsky, because he's the only, I guess, Westerner or whatever that went into Russia to try to trace Oswald's steps in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to see him in Ryerson University. He was teaching a course on the Third Reich or whatever.
Yeah.
And also he's written a number of books or articles and that on Oswald, which I opposed what he was saying, that Oswald did it. He's another one of these, individuals that believes that Oswald did it. And I took offense to that. So I made an appointment. He thought I was going to interview him because he's been interviewed quite often for his book, promotion. And I went to his office at Ryerson, and then I didn't tape him. I just told him off. I said, how I chanced upon your book on the serial killers, right? And that was because I was trying to find how to pronounce the name of that Russian serial killer. I still can't pronounce it, Chikakoni. Because when I asked Clyde how many people has he killed, he says, beyond any Bundy or Chikakoni or whatever. So I just wanted to say it, the pronunciation right when I was doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into a bookstore and I found this book on Vronsky that he had written on the serial killers. Now, lo and behold, comes the children that Clyde had done, and he set up this guy by the name of Peter Woodcock. I know the whole thing from way back when, because I had to live through all this. And that's why I wanted to, to get into the pattern of patsies and how that all happened. It's
mm-hmm.
all to do with the homosexuality and David Ferry. But anyway, I'll get into David Ferry first, and then I'll get into this fellow that I think might be Clyde, because he's breaking into all these websites and trying to domineer the website, the educational forum and some others, and how many aliases he's used, including going onto your blog and giving a comment under an alias that hasn't even been notified. So he changes his modus operandi all the time. Anyway, what author Peter Vronsky said in 1962 and 1963, David Ferry had made 7 long-distance phone calls from New Orleans to an unlisted number in the Toronto area, the 416 area code, Toronto,
mm-hmm.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what it was 1967 at the request of New Orleans District Attorney's Office, the Metropolitan Toronto Police link the unlisted number to Earl Anglican Lawrence James, a bishop at the Old Roman Catholic Church of North America. And he's supposed to be, it's a very shadowy, highly fractionized heretical sect in which Ferry was reportedly ordained and subsequently defrocked as a priest. And in brackets he's put here, Ferry has also been described in error as being a bishop in the sect he was not. The group's tables of succession prominently identify Earl Anglican James as a bishop of their movement, a rank held by very few in the movement. See the following links for more. Then he puts the tables of apostolic succession, the Old Roman Catholic Church of North America homepage, and the official Catholic site on the sect. And what happened here was this guy went into denial. In a local press interview, November 1967, the schismatic bishop, Earl Anglican James vehemently insisted he only received one call in his entire life from New Orleans in March 1965, and it was from Mr. J.S. Martin, and it was personal. So this guy went into denial. Earl James characterizes the allegations of his links to David Ferry and the JFK assassination as a smear campaign by factions within his controversial church. James insisted he had never been in the state of Louisiana. Now, this is what's so important. The 1967 Metro Toronto Police dash their New Orleans DA communications are classified, but senior Toronto inspectors kept filing Earl James JFK-related reports in an informal historic correspondence file as memos for letter files. The last item in the file was a routine 1970 report on a stolen wallet recovered and returned by the Toronto police to Earl Anglican James. But prior to releasing the billfold to James, the police officer photocopied the troubling contents in the wallet and sent them to a senior Toronto police homicide inspector who subsequently deposited the copies into the letter files. And he's got all the you know, that was in the wallet, all the different pieces of, I think, very important evidence that the church is involved here. Because when I said to Clyde, you know, how come they don't arrest you? He says, I'm protected from the Most Highest. Well, here it is. Here's, you know, the church that's protecting him, and probably the Pope himself. Anyway, while ostensibly James was a Canadian residing in Toronto, the items in his wallet suggest his presence in New Orleans in the early 1960s, where presumably he met David Ferry. The most curious are Louisiana Department of Justice identification cards, which James had in his billfold, and his smuggling activities of both material and human beings. I can't believe when I saw all this stuff. This is very important. So here's the cover up going right into the Metro Toronto Police and the RCMP files. But he went in there. This is what Peter Voronsky said to me. He says, Haley, when I went into the Metro Police, all of these files, the evidence files, they're held by private entity. They're not to do with the Toronto Police evidence files. They're nothing to do with the Metro Toronto. It's all secret, again, secret sects that are in place in our government to do with all politicians or whatever. They're not a Freemason. They're, they're the members of the Knights of Malta or some organization. And this is what's important that he got into, too, this fellow, Peter Voronsky. What happened is David Ferry, what he was saying, David Ferry had been working with individuals frequenting the same Camp Street and Lafayette Street, that corner. I had one of those flyers that Oswald was handing out there on the corner, on that particular corner. The address, which had the rubber stamp of leaflets Oswald distributed in New Orleans summer of 1963, 3 months before the assassination of President Kennedy. Ferry was disgraced former commercial air pilot, CIA operative, gunrunner, alleged JFK's operation participant, and a figure in the New Orleans right-wing homosexual community. And then he's got more on David Ferry and more on 544 Camp Street. So within days of the assassination, an informant had identified Ferry as the alleged getaway pilot for the assassins. This is highly relevant to the whole thing because they flew bringing Walter Tobinski to Winnipeg. This is what's so important. I met Ferry in Montreal with who was identified as Bertrand Shaw to me, Clay Shaw.
Clay Bertrand, yeah, other he name. That name. Yeah. Clay Bertrand.
That's right. In the summer, late summer of 1967, my brother took me to the Dorval Airport. There was
who's speaking now?
Who
are you quoting?
What it was, but, sorry?
Who are you quoting?
No, I'm just saying off the top of my head what
these
happened.
These were your experiences?
My experiences.
You were in New Orleans and met David Ferry?
I met Ferry, and I was introduced to Ferry by my brother introducing me to, because he said, you've got to see these people so you know what transpired with the Kennedy assassination, the links. So that's the time that I met Ferry and Bertrand Shaw in a restaurant near the Dorval Airport. Okay, this was right after my brother and Charles Frederick Rogers had just moved me into the new apartment that I had found. Because he took me around it was the middle of August in 67, whipping me out of Toronto, and just took me with one suitcase full of clothing that I had taken. And then I said that where he drove me in the 3.5 hours was first to the Neptune Tavern, where my brother met James Earl Ray. And then from there we went to the subdivision that he had gone by, and then within a week or two, it was Charles Frederick Rogers and my brother had brought some furniture, and it was Charles Frederick Rogers and my brother that brought it up to our apartment on Milton Street, which was right near the McGill University. So my brother had stayed in that particular area near the Neptune Tavern. He had taken a room, and that all came out in the Melanson book, Philip Melanson's book, regarding who the James Earl Ray was, and the association between Martin Luther King, because he was one of the archivist, I guess, for the Senate subcommittee hearings. It's highly relevant of what transpired that summer, because it wasn't but a year that I stayed in Montreal that I started getting people that were phoning up, giving me death threats, people hanging in front of the apartment where I was living, because I hightailed it out of the other apartment because the death threats were getting really serious, that I couldn't even come out of the apartment. So anyway, what transpired was my brother said that the press is on to this whole thing with the James Earl Ray. Then my brother said that they were almost caught at the Detroit Bridge because James Earl Ray had said that he had to declare the secondhand TV, and inside the car was, he said, a ship of heroin, which he started getting involved with, because they were gun running for Ferry. They were not only gun running, but they were also dope running. And he slightly got into it, but he didn't admit to the drug running part of it, because he was paid quite lucratively for being a participant, James Earl Ray. So this is all very relevant to me of what transpired, because in the book, my brother had said that he had met this French-Canadian nurse who wanted her to translate from the police band information, because they were doing a bank robbery using a machine gun. Who was part of it was Clyde and James Earl Ray, and my brother as a getaway driver. Now, I didn't know about that until the next year when he started telling me all about that. They used the truck to come back to Toronto with.
Which shooting was this?
Well, this was a bank robbery because James Earl Ray said that they, you know, to fund to kill Martin Luther King, they need a lot of money just to get here, there, and everywhere, right? But he was set up as a patsy, just like
Oswald
was. Now, what Clyde told
and Sirhan,
me was very,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah, was so relevant. He said, all we needed to do was to get James Earl Ray's fingerprints on the gun. But that wasn't the gun that shot Martin Luther King, who Clyde told me, and I also got it from the horse's mouth, was from Walter Tobinski, that it was him who shot Martin Luther King in the bushes. Clyde had done the diversionary shot from the bathroom window. This is highly relevant because I had told you what I had done. I had wired myself in conversations that I had so I get the whole thing on pat. That's why they went running into my apartment, the office of the Ontario government there, because they didn't want me to have such lethal information. I had the pieces of evidence. Like I said, I had the bumper stickers that said Barry Goldwater for president. I had the business card of Jack Ruby, which my brother gave me, right? I had it in my wallet. Why would I have, you know, Ruby's business card? He gave me that just as a kind of a joke, right? So anyway, this is highly relevant of Ferry's association of, coming up to Toronto and Montreal and Winnipeg, because he was flying in and out. Now, in my affidavit, I'm making allegations that two boys that were found as skeletons, and that was Eric Jones and Richard Hovey, were sexual killings that were done with David Ferry and Clay Shaw, because these guys were S&M, torture, thrill kill, homosexual acts that they would perpetrate. And I had met this kid, and it's a case that's still before the unsolved file, right? I was the last person that had seen the both of them in my brother's car, and Clyde had jumped into the car and said, I'm taking the two boys fishing to Balsam Lake. Well, that's where they went that summer of 67 with Ferry and Clay Shaw. These guys, no one gets this whole thing. They're serious homosexual predators of children. No one has any conceivable idea how horrific it is. It came out of the film Oliver Stone's JFK, their parties that they had, but the extent of it and how many victims, came from it. So that's how I'm tying in this whole thing in my affidavit of what I saw and how far it went. Clyde was groomed into setting up patsies, and Peter Woodcock did most of his life for crimes that he never committed. And as soon as I started going into the library, lo and behold, I tell my family physician I'm going in and getting all the documents in the Toronto library on all the articles that ever came out on Peter Woodcock, because the case was a sham that came before the court. The guy was said that he was insane, and then he sat in this penitentiary, one of the most horrific, institutions for the criminally insane. They worked on him for years using LSD. He was a Manchurian candidate that sat in there. Anyway, this is what Peter Voronsky went in there. So when I saw the three victims that Clyde had killed, not Peter Woodcock, I had a word or two with Peter Voronsky that says that not only did you put the wrong person into prison, you've got another predator here, Ferry, because they were all part of this diabolical ongoings. These guys had their days that when they did not only their gun running, they had to do their homosexual thrill kills. It's sickening. Anyway, what's very important is that Oswald and Ferry were linked together. Garrison had an awful time of trying to get this Clay Shaw and Ferry indicted. And I'm making allegations because I said what was so relevant was Walter Tobinski threatened me as a child regarding that axe killing to the head of this woman by the name of Dirksen at 666 Young Street. She got it in the forehead. I don't have the exact year or date, but he killed that Givali. I don't have his first name, but the guy that got the axe in the head the same night. The same night that Ferry was found, those two.
Who did that?
Both. It's here.
Who killed Valley?
Walter Tobinski. Walter Tobinski killed Valley. Okay, I learned about it through both of them. They admitted it to me through my still knowing, Wally, because I had been the witness to a murder of some of these mafia characters, right? Because when I went in the 3 years that I was wiretapping myself from, on my body or at home, Clyde continued his tirade of, one contract killing after another. And I had gone to the Metro Toronto Police right to see that Julian Fantino, who's actually on the news here in Toronto because he's putting in a new bill about predators and child predators. Because you know what they do here in Canada, how lax the laws are? They do home incarceration, not in the jail, if they're a predator. But Clyde was a killer. This is what made me so sick. When I went to see that Peter Voronsky, I said, I dare you, write this and then teach it in your school. False information. You know, this is mind control. Sickening. Anyway, he actually was really surprised because I had gotten into three little boys were drowned by the name of Quigley. He says, well, Haley, I went into the Metro evidence section there, and I was able to get through freedom of information, a lot of these crime scenes. Now, who killed the three Quigley boys was, here was it again, Walter Tobinski. He drowned them, and it was around May of 53 or 54 that these three boys were drowned. They would do these sacrificial, homosexual, disgusting, killings of children, and it was usually May the 1st because of the, May Day is the communist day that they overtook Russia. It was like a ritual that they, every year in May, that there would be a body floating somewhere off Lake Ontario. So three boys were found at that particular time, the Quigley boys. And Peter Voronsky says, well, I got their crime scene photos here. And he won't post the bodies being taken out, but they never solved the crime. They said it was a misadventure that children had died of, which is a total lie. They were drowned purposely.
That implies accidental, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is where I was so keen on getting Clyde of all the years that I was, you know, assassination attempts. Yeah, how many times the lot of them tried to kill me, but I still stayed alive. So I played along with them all the time. As I said, rather than fearing fear, I went in there and started laughing my head off. Oh, really, Clyde? I said, oh, you're kidding me. Tell me more. That's the way I played with this this diabolical killer that no one has killed. It's not just Stefanski and Clyde. So my whole thing was to get all what he said with the link between the Clayshaw fairy and how they knew each other and where it went to. So I had also phoned Peter with me, who wrote some articles regarding the incident in Winnipeg. Why that's so relevant is Jim Garrison brought it into his trial. Into his trial, the man who had overheard the conversation in 1964 in a restaurant near the Winnipeg airport, where Clyde had told me Ferry had come in giving up the rest of what was to be paid out for the JFK assassination. So what was so important was when I started going through all these different files and websites, I chanced upon this character by the name of Bequia, right, who calls himself so many aliases, who started writing a book. And this book goes into that particular incident, but he changes the people's names of who showed up in Winnipeg.
He has a book. He has a book.
Who?
Beckley. And you think that's Clyde?
Yeah, he wrote a book called JFK, The Final Solution. That's what he wrote. And it's on, if you go into Squid, that you can read the whole book for yourself. Now, let me get it here. What I was saying, I'm going to get off the ferry incident here.
I'm very interested in his involvement in okay, research forums and all that.
Yeah, this is what's so important. Clyde would tell me about the Knights of Malta, and all of the secret society would go on and on. And when I started reading what this guy had written, I couldn't believe it. Now, who wrote this actual website? And it's on, I'll give you the direct, if you could take http://.
Just a second. Go ahead.
KARWS.
Wait a minute, say again. K?
KARWS. Period. GSO.
GFO.
GS, like Sam, O. Period. URI. Period. EDU.
K8/. Go ahead.
Yeah. /JFK/the, and then underscore, like the small little line.
Right.
The next word, critics, / Bequia, or I don't know how to pronounce it.
Spell it.
Say that again, please.
Spell it.
BEVILAQUA.
Is there another slash?
And then another / and then BE, again, the same spelling. And then underscore BIO period HTML. Now, this was written by this professor. I guess he is, because he teaches the course on JFK, I think in the University of Rhode Island. And his name is Kenneth Ran, R-A-H-A.
Ron. He's a fraud.
He's a fraud?
Yeah.
He's a fraud.
Yeah, he's a fraud.
Well, why would maybe then he's even this John Bequia? Who the hell is this character?
Well, you got to give me the. I got to go through it again with you because I got something wrong. It wouldn't open. Okay, it's KARWF dot gso.uri.edu/jfk/the_critics/BEVILAQUA. BEVILAQUA_bio.html.
bio.html.
It's not working.
Yeah, if you can't, if you just put John Bequia, it's the first thing that comes on there. How I found it is John Bequia, Kenneth A. Rand's homepage. And if you just go into
Just a minute. Okay, see, there's this whole biographical sketch about it.
Yeah, then it goes into who this John Bequia is. So he says that personal history. John Bequia was born John Horvath in Washington.
Yeah, I got it.
All that? You got it, okay. Now, when I go into the third paragraph, it says how many aliases he's used. He typically writes and posts messages under aliases. Some related to Nazism. Sometimes he writes under one alias, sends back.
He's used all of these different aliases?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And one, that's what's scary. Now, when I saw his face, how I chanced upon all this, I thought, holy shit, that's the guy that was in that, coffee shop when I called you saying, shit, Clyde is in there working on a computer. He's got
look at the images here. The second one from the right has got a cap on and looks a lot like Clyde.
Exactly. Now, what I'm going to do this afternoon after I speak with you, I'm going to get the images of the Walter Bandit compared to this guy, right? And it's one and the same. So when I saw this, all that Clyde is doing all the time right now is he's linking into all of the people that ever had written a book. And this is why he had to write this book, because it diverts and he puts he puts in misinformation on what transpired at the Winnipeg.
So do you think this is in fact Clyde?
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Okay, what about you said he also...
When I read through most of the book, but I only got half. And this is what Clyde started talking about, of all of these fascists and the Alpha Six and the John Birch Society and he goes into the really nitty-gritty of this whole thing. They were part of the World Anti-Communist League, Walter Dubinsky. There was a faction in Winnipeg, and he has gone into the details of finding out all of the link between these individuals. Yeah, you see all the aliases he's used. Now, this is what's serious. He said in the early 1990s, he was cut off from the JFK forum on CompuServe for sending threatening messages to Bill Adams, Dave Stager, and Gordon Winslow. Several times he would re-enter under a different alias, only to be cut off again. So he's pushing three causes of the evils of fascism, Nazism in the world as a whole, fascist, Nazi.
Now you talked about him using the alias Patrick Henry.
Yeah, to you, when you go into the blog that you had set up, it's the last, second to last entry that you've got on Judah Ferry Baker, and he gets right into this stuff, but then again he says to Judith, thank you for replying to me. I thought, shit, he's after getting, Fetzer, and he's after now killing, Judith Ferry Baker. Because I told the publisher when I went to the book signing, because I bought three of Judith's books, and when I showed her the picture that I had of Clyde and Kabinsky, she grabbed my wrist. She says, Haley, we have to talk. And then who intervened was that stupid Sydney Sidney White, right? And that's what I feel is Sidney and her son had gone in there to knock me off and Judith at the same time.
Right. We don't need to go over that.
I don't want to go there again, but this is serious stuff that was going on. Here were two people that were serious witnesses on this whole takedown because she had known about the pathogen that was supposed to be given to Castro and how she got involved with Oswald and Ferry regarding all this. This is so important. And I'm so pissed off, pardon my language here again, that conversation that I didn't have. But I stated to her children, because they even ostracized Judith into believing their mother, and I said, look, I lived my whole life with the assassins, and I had to live to try to tell my side of Oswald didn't do it. Garrison says it. I say it, right? The perpetrators are still out there. I can't even come out of my house to this day. All the time having to look, up the street, down the street. I can't even sometimes, James, come out to throw the garbage. When I went out to throw the garbage right after the last conversation that I had with you, mm-hmm. two mafia guys were shot down by Clyde. The description of them meets with Clyde's oldest son from the third marriage, Clyde Jr. and Clyde. Dressed in black, they had gone up to the car and shot these two guys, point blank. The next day, I come out to throw my garbage out. There I see Clyde Jr. waltzing up the street. And I tried to photograph it, went back into the house, and I thought, oh, my God. The next day, that was like, I forget when I had posted spoken to you last on Saturday, because I had sent you an article in the Toronto Star. It's right on the front page there of the two guys that were shot in their car.
Did you send that to me?
Yeah, I think I sent it to you, and then what happened is I didn't come out of the house.
I never got it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, no. I've got to send it to you. This is so important.
Well, I don't know. I worry about you when you start sending me stuff, whether that's going
to get to you or whatever. What's so important is if someone's intervening in that, Agent Ladybug website, and I was, thinking I've got to take everything off of there and come out with a new website or just an email address, which you have already given me, the name that you've given me, I don't even want to say it just in case they're listening. But anyway, you'll know when it'll come up there, because I'll tell you when I'll give it, but you gave me the name, right?
Okay.
Anyway, this is so relevant is because these are Tippit-type murders. Clyde perpetrated I don't know how many. I had witnessed to one of them by the name of Filippino Vendemini. Okay, I was witness to that murder. I shouldn't even say that over the phone, but I was taken in by Walter Tobinski just down the street. It was a major mafia. Remember I told you the story about Jack Ruby died in 1967 in the month of January, early month of January. Then I related to you that a mafia character by the name of Salvatore Trombardi was knocked off by Clyde and my brothers being sidekick or the person that's helping, because Clyde used to do usually the hits with two people, either one of his sons or before his sons got older as being his partner. So I had to live through all this stuff, but Trombardi was killed much like Tippit was. Salvatore Trombardi was wasted right in front of his house, and I got into that story that they had used the seal test truck. He was interviewed by police, and he said he took a shortcut running away from the crime scene. Clyde dropped his fedora hat in the backyard of Trombardi's house, jumped over the fence, and ran to the block where they had parked the seal test truck. When the police interrogated him regarding it, he said he had taken a shortcut. This is in the middle of winter. This is January 1967. In the middle of winter, a milkman is taking a shortcut, jumping over a fence to deliver the milk. That hat, James, went to Interpol because they got the goddamn DNA from Clyde's goddamn hair in the fedora hat. Why did the Metro Police send that fedora hat to Interpol? So it's been covered by the top police forces around the world, this stuff, because it links all to who Walter had killed before and why it's all covered up. And this is where I've gone into, like I say, 1,000 unsolved murders. And what I'm just going to try to hone in on now when I go to the Ontario Provincial Crown's office is to get into the Richard Hovey case, other than I'm being the witness for that woman that was killed down the street from where I live. That was right after I'd phoned Galen Gordon Ross regarding his book on the elite serial killers of JFK, Martin Luther King, and on and on. He was really thankful, I'll tell you, Gordon Ross, of enlightening him to the real perpetrators at 9/11. I said, this is so much misinformation that's been put out, and the guys are right there. And I said, what's so relevant is Tabinski's in the Zapruder friggin' film and other, you know, photographs that other photographers had taken. So I'm going to try to find all the names of the characters that had taken the photographs, because Clyde had grabbed the camera off what he said to me. The guys were, that there were three people positioned by the stairs by that cement retaining wall.
Yeah.
That's what's so important. And I said, look, you must have the snuff film that Zapruder had done. Not only did one of the copies get to hunt, as you said, right? You must have a perfect copy of the Zapruder film. What do? Masturbate and live it over and over again? Because this is what the guy did. Oh, my God. The one day, I don't know how I lived through that day, was to... this was actually... Clyde had bought me, I think it was a Time Life magazine. Here, I've got the actual book still. And we had gone into this small town called St. Jacobs, and it's an area where the Clyde says a lot of the Nazis live, and it was a small secondhand bookstore, and he bought me this Time Life magazine with Jack Ruby on the front page, right? And he says, Haley, here I got to get you this, you know, so that you have this is one of your you know, information that you see that Oswald never got a chance with Jack Ruby, and the guys all never coughing up the real information. I mean, it was titillating when Jack Ruby says, the world will never know the true story, because he asked for protection, right?
Yeah.
Never was granted that. Part of the stuff never came out, the true story of how the link was all there. I mean, we're standing on bated breath all the time to find out who and what and where. But anyway, what's so relevant is this Bequia character goes into all of the, the hierarchy of the military, military machine.
Well, do you think Bequia is someone other than Clyde?
Yeah, this is where I think he knew this. Clyde would say that there was a worldwide anti-communist league. And what he was saying was a lot of these individuals...
Well, there was. It was a CIA operation.
Exactly. So he has now, by the looks of it, because he said he's going to kill all the witnesses. Here was I going to York Regional Police, right, because I said, like, I'm going to clean up all your unsolved murders in all of your cold case files. So I started talking to that Mike Amato, who went before, like I told you, he went before the Quebec Commission on Organized Crime and spoke that we got a bigger problem here in Ontario than you ever have in Quebec, because they're all coming in here from Italy. And they're not part of the Sicilian gang, they're part of this Calabrian gang, the D'Artagnan group, which doesn't have to be like the Sicilians, you know, brought, they came out of the family lines all the time. You had to be a Sicilian to be part of the mafia. So there's a new faction and a new crisis here in Ontario, because they're all moving into Ontario because the money laundering. It's a piece of cake to live here.
Haley, I have to quit it about 5 minutes, okay?
Okay, but anyway, this is so important. So when I saw this stuff and saw his face, I thought, shit, that's freaking Clyde. It looks like him the last I saw him. He changed his nose. The nose has been redone through a plastic surgeon. But he's after killing every single person and causing commotion on all of the websites that ever have done any research on the JFK.
Well, who's he killing?
Who's he killing? By the looks of, we have to see how the person by the name of Louis Bloomfield died. All of these individuals. I don't know. You know, even the time of the Boston bombing. Was the big takedown because of the Bulger, you know, that the mafia dude that now got life? What's his first name?
Yeah. Go ahead. That's
right?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I thought Clyde was in there to knock off the witnesses. They're all linked together. Hitmen would go there. There was one strange, you know, death of a witness that was supposed to show up in that trial. But anyway, the trial was finished. And that's why I thought maybe that, you know, this whole takedown in Boston, because they started doing door-to-door searches. And I started combing through all the photos that showed up on the Boston bombings to see if I see that goddamn Clyde face in there. Oh, my God. Anyway, it's highly relevant. I'm going to send you that picture, like I said, from the poster of the character who's the Vulture Bandit compared to this this person that calls himself Bequia, and then he's got this other name. Too many aliases. Too much he knew about James Anglican and the link with all these secret societies, because he goes into everything here, from the Anastasia Volonsky and then George de Mornshield. He admitted to me, Clyde did, that Walter Dubinsky and him had gone into de Mornshield's house and set it up to look like a suicide, blew the brains out of their de Mornshield. So he had knocked off all the key witnesses that were supposed to go.
Clyde was involved in the death of de Mornshield?
Yes. Yes, and I'm going to now, because that's what I'm working on, to show you the pattern of how many setups of individuals to this date that he's doing that are suicide. One of the cases that I went and spoke to Detective Ryan was, Steve Ryan, right?
Yeah.
I said, the case of Gintano Panapinto. I said, Clyde's son had killed the receptionist, Patricia Rael. There was another person other than Patricia that was killed. She was shot in their backyard with a man that came out of nowhere with a balaclava and shot her point blank. I was there. I was witness to all this shit going down, pardon my language here. But I was trying to show the pattern. Then they tried to set it up that a biker friend of Patricia Royale had done the killing. But the police were wise to it. There was a suicide note. Wasn't there a suicide note as well with the Mornshield? It's all a setup. People don't know. Can you imagine to this date that I have to have these people behind my door on a daily basis, and I can't get the cooperation of the RCMP or the Metro Police? I got to break this thing, this whole thing.
Hang on just
a minute. It's so serious. Anyway, let me do that for you today.
Okay.
Beck Cuellar's face compared to the Vulture Bandit poster poster shots, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Anyway, have a great day.
Yeah.
But just be, guys, be wary of who comes on and posts the notes. You never know how and where he is.
Yeah, I got
it. He does surprise attacks.
I got it.
Anyway, have a great day.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Keep on trucking with those excellent articles.
Well,
important.
You be safe. You be safe.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Anyway, take care. Bye.
Bye.